Well, there's a lot of times when you're sitting here fishing, you think about the chance to go to the Bassmaster Classic. I've dreamt it. I think anybody that fishes dreams that wonderful deal just to make it there. But Boyd Duckett goes the first time and wins the Bassmaster Classic. Hasn't even been there to see it and wins the Bassmaster Classic the first time he shows up. Boyd, welcome to the program here at Bass Fan Radio.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm very proud to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the win. I guess first thing is the win is something that's unmatched in history. I mean, you know, whenever you go back, now you're marked in the book as a Bassmaster Classic champion. How important, and has it sunk in yet for you?
You know, I don't know that it has really sunk in. It's unbelievable how busy we are. As soon as I came off the stage, you know, there's a tremendous amount of media, radio and television and those things that are involved that we normally don't do that. You know, as tournament fishermen, we go and fish and weigh our fish, and we have a chance to go back to the room and talk about what we did or didn't do right. So, yes, I'm very excited, ecstatic about the win, but I think after it calms down a day or two, whenever that comes, I'll have a chance to enjoy it a little more.
Well, you qualified out of the Opens. I know you fished both of those and ended up making it to the Classic. And I think a lot of people had you on the radar screen, in particular, you know, Russ Lane kind of the favorite, and you fished against him numerous years. But you were kind of there on the radar screen, but not a lot of people talking about you. And, man, you came out there and just took this thing over.
Well, I know Russ, and last year was his first year on the Elites. I started fishing full-time professional in 2002. And I want to say Russ came on 3 or 4 years ago, but Russ was real good at Lay Lake back when we both fished, you know, in the state, in our region. We butted heads over there at Lay, and I think he got a lot of pressure. He might have forced it a little bit. Russ is a great fisherman. That's probably why the 36-year nemesis existed. Just all that hometown pressure, you know, you try to force the fish to come to you. And with the weather changes and what have you, the fish didn't do what he or I expected, but I may have been fortunate in the sense I went in a little more open-minded. I didn't have as many boats on me the first day. Of course, after leaving the first day, you know, I got the big crowds, but it just worked out real good for me.
Well, you bring up a great point. You know, it's never been a case where a local guy's won it, you know, in their own state, and you kind of knock that monkey off the back of the anglers. But it's also one of those things where when you really go into it and everybody thinks you're going to win, sometimes it's awful hard to go out there and perform that well. I mean, we're fishing, trying to catch something that you can't see. So, you know, you don't really have a lot of control over that. And it just seems to me like your game plan, and please go over that if you would, your game plan played well.
You know, my game plan going into it, we had our pre-practice was a week before Classic Week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The temperature here in Alabama was very unseasonably cold, so none of the Classic field got much out of the 3 days of practice. I basically just wiped it out. We all have access to internet. You can go to weather.com and you can get a 10-day forecast. I saw that the weather was going to warm up, so I used most of my practice not to really find fish, but to try to estimate where the fish would be 10 days from there and sort of built my tournament plan around them. It's hard to build confidence when you're looking at areas that have no fish in them because the water's 42 or 43, but knowing Lay Lake, I knew that they would come and they'd start to move into those areas, so it was kind of going in blindfolded, so to speak.
Well, things that come to mind for me out of this is that it really wasn't as blindfolded as it may have been for me, but you go out there, you had a plan, you went out there and you knew you had to catch fish on a certain bait, caught that limit, then went out with another bait, filled that limit out with bigger fish, and really having the big fish each of those 2 days won the Classic for you.
Absolutely. I knew it was going to take pretty good weight. You know, it looked like I fell off the second day when I weighed 11 pounds or 10, 15. I knew that I could catch a limit on a crankbait. Early in the tournament, the actual official practice day was Wednesday, and I was able to catch them cranking a little bit deeper. Those crankbait fish even moved. I anticipated that it would change some every day, and it did. They ended up moving a little shallower up onto the secondary points and gravel bars, and I caught them on the Bill Lewis Rattletrap. I was able to catch a limit each day, but I didn't think I could win it on the Rattletrap, so the plan was to get that weight in and spend the next 5 or 6 hours flipping, hoping to get 1 or 2 bites a day, which is all I was able to get. I boated a 4 and an 8 flipping on the first day, which gave me that big lead. The second day, I actually had another giant, probably an 8-pounder on, that I turned up in the grass. That fish got off, or else I'd have had another big, you know, second day. But that was the plan, and went out, got my limit on the Rattletrap, and flipped the rest of the day, and I caught a 3.5 and a 6.5. So that's what it took.
Well, I want to go over the whole, you know, technique and everything else. But you talked about flipping. You threw the Berkeley Chigger Craw. And then you had the Bill Lewis Rattletrap, which you're going to put that on the map. That red Rattletrap, I tell you, folks, if you haven't used one in the spring of the year, they're hotter than a $2 pistol. But you went out, you had some flats and stuff you were fishing, then moved into the heavy mats, but you had kind of a technique you used with the Chigger Craw, and you were using a fairly heavy weight, right?
I was. I was fishing a 1-ounce, 2-tungsten weight. You know, it's a similar, maybe a penetrator weight is what the generic term people think about, but 4-punch in the mats. But it wasn't actually catching them in the mats. Normally this time of year they'll get up under the mats, but I think that's maybe what hurt some of the other real good flipping guys like Terry Scroggins. He and I are close friends, and in fact, you know, Terry kind of taught me how to fish that big weight is the term we use, you know, for the 1.25, 1.5 ounce weight. But they didn't get under the mats. They were actually, the bites you could get were in the loose clumps, but I was still fishing the big weight because that Chigger Craw, the arms or the feet move on that Chigger Craw, and that big weight pulls it fast enough that Chigger Craw really gives good reaction. It forces a reaction bite in those clumps. You can move it fast, cover a lot of water with it.
Well, and let's talk about weight, and you mentioned that a little bit, but line, and then, you know, flipping stick, some of the things that you use there, because I think the folks that are out there thinking about maybe going down to that neck of the woods would be a little bit surprised, maybe.
Right. I use a heavy flipping stick. I use an Aris InSync. It's a new rod that they have out. In fact, it's a Terry Scroggins Signature Series rod. 7.5 foot, extra heavy action when I'm pitching the big weight. 65-pound strand super braid. You know, you don't have to worry about breaking them off or, you know, hardly fraying the line. I use that big heavy outfit. That way, if you do pitch under a mat or you get in a heavy clump, you know, you can pull, you know, a big 7-8 pound fish out of it if you have to.
Man, I tell you, you look back at this now, the big, most important thing of this whole combination, you've got the Berkeley Baits, you got the Great Rod and Reel, you got all that kind of stuff, but the tennis shoes. You came out with the tennis shoes and did a pretty good job with them as well.
Well, yeah, I tell you, all of us, you know, we've got little things that build confidence. You know, superstition, I hate to use that word, but I guess bass fishermen are some of the most superstitious people on earth, but whatever it takes to get that, to reach that comfort zone or feel like you're prepared to go win a bass tournament. For me, you know, it's my red tennis shoes. I had a great season when I started in 2002, and I won an invitational, or what is now the Open, won an event up at Lake Pickwick. And when I won, Gerald Swindle, instead of giving me credit, he and I are friends, and, you know, he said, "Hey, man, it must be the shoes," you know, so I got to thinking about that, and I went to my next event, and that was the year that I actually qualified for the tour via the Open, and those tennis shoes got me there. So I probably got a dozen pair of red Nike tennis shoes, the different styles, and I've got it honed down now where I have a day one, a day two, a day three pair. I can switch them out like pitchers in a major league game, and if one of them's not getting it done, you know, I can pull some confidence from another pair.
Well, the closers did the job of closing this thing out, and it was, you know, you look back at this, and I think when you're, you know, you're 100 years old and you're sitting back and thinking about it, but KVD right on your heels, you know, right there next to you, and you knew that going in, and you just knew you had to go out and do your thing, and a lot of guys might have fallen under that pressure, but not you. You did a great job.
Well, yeah, you know, this is my rookie year on the elite season, but, you know, I'm not really a rookie to bass fishing. I have traveled and tournament fished since the late 70s. I'm 46 years old, and used to fish the Fisherman's Bass Circuit, fish some bass invitationals, regional tournaments, tournament fishing for big money and me and like the classic, but you know, I've done it for many years, so it wasn't as intimidating as maybe people thought.
Well, Boyd, I tell you what, I appreciate you being with us here at Bass Fan Radio. You know, I mean, you're going to be inundated, I can tell you that. The press will be on you for a whole year. You're going to be the reigning champion, and I wish you the best of luck in the future. Wish you good luck at Amistad.
Well, thank you. I'm really anxious to get out there. My goal, of course, the Classic was one of our goals. I guess that's every professional bass fisherman's goal, but my number one goal now that the Classic's under me is to win Angler of the Year. That was actually always my goal when I went full time on the tour. So we'll see how many years it takes, but I sure intend to accomplish that one also.
Well, the momentum couldn't be any better, I'll tell you that.
It sure could.
Well, thanks for being with us. Good luck down the road, and we'll see what happens at Amistad for you.
Hey, great. Thanks, Terry.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.